Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM, Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation, thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have you saying yarn up strong, you mob. Now, fresh perspective on golf. We're talking golf dreaming. Now, Fair Play Publishing is delighted to announce the release of Golf Dreaming by Professor John Maynard, a groundbreaking exploration of golf's place in Australia's sporting and cultural history from an Aboriginal perspective. And with that, we have Professor John Maynard on the line. Good morning, my brother. How are you?
Really good, Trev. Good to be here, bud.
Oh, thank you very much for coming. And before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, brother.
Yeah, Warramai fella from the Port Stephens region of New South Wales, the centre of the universe, bud.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Look up to you. And I'm up here in far north Queensland. So, yeah, look, thank you for coming to the program. So when we talk about golf, people tend to think a rich man's game, a white man's game, but not the case, Professor John Maynard, brother.
No, we've always found ways and means of playing the game. And as you say, I mean, it was the aristocracy, the rich white fella's game, you know. And to be truthful, I mean, there were barriers to us, you know, to play golf, because to afford a set of clubs or to afford or to gain even entrance into a golf club, there were serious barriers to admittance to us. But the reality is we found our ways onto the course, and there's a long history of it. But there's another factor to that, Trev, is that we were playing forms of golf in traditional times. Up there in Queensland, the protector of Aborigines, Walter Roth, in the late 1880s and 1890s, wrote some stuff, and he said, the blackfellas are playing some form of golf, you know, without clubs. And that entailed, there's about three or four different accounts across the country, and that one that Roth recorded, there was a hole, but it had a sort of a cross bunker net protecting the hole.
Yes.
And you were hurling objects to try and clear that bunker and get it into the hole. So, you know, a form of golf.
Yeah.
And then another one was a boomerang. And it wasn't a boomerang to come back. It was thrown at a target, you know, with a peg in the ground. Very similar to a golf green's flagpole, you know. So, yeah, we had these the forms of games that... clearly, we were a part of before the white fellas even got here.
Well, we're talking about 60,000 years, and we're talking about all facets of life. So if we're talking about hunting, gathering, whatever the case may be, we're talking lovemaking, producing a family, but we're talking entertainment, we're talking sporting, we're talking activities. So, of course, there would have been stuff coming to them. I mean, they even talk of AFL, starting with First Nation people.
Yeah, well, that's right. There was forms of football played across the country. Mangrook, of course, in Victoria.
Yes.
But it was all about teaching skills, building athleticism, stamina and speed. And that's all connected with the hunting and gathering lifestyle.
Exactly.
And there's a whole host of early settler accounts stating how fit and healthy, you know, our people were. You know, incredible forms of physical specimens, basically.
Yes.
You know, and that was through that you know, athletic and sporting interest that we had.
Yeah. So when you look at it, my friend, and we talk about golf dreaming, where are we at with it? What's your vision? What can we do? And I would think that there are deadly blackfellas out there, male or females, who would know how to swing a club, brother.
Absolutely. Well, the National Aboriginal Golf Championships have been played since 1979.
Okay.
And in 2019, it was the 40th anniversary of that event. So we've had some good golf. We've had some really good golfers. Scott Gardner was a New South Wales golfer. He actually made it to the USPGA Tour in 2012, but he was in tournaments with Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. You know, Paddy Mills, our great basketballer, was a good friend of his and used to go along to the tournaments to follow him. You know?
Yeah, gotcha.
So these are great histories. I mean, that's the thing that I've always been writing about in the last 30 years is our history is like a giant jigsaw puzzle with most of the pieces missing.
Yeah.
We've all got a role to play to put those pieces back in. And I've done books on Aboriginal jockeys, Aboriginal soccer players, and now golf, because the reality is people don't know these stories.
Yeah.
And that's the importance. We want that to inspire our young ones coming through, can have a go.
Exactly. You know? Well, you even mentioned jockey, and here we have Uncle Frank Reyes, who won the Melbourne Cup, Indigenous man here from far north Queensland, you know what I mean? Get a mention,
Darwin
so to speak, you know?
Of course, was a legend.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and don't get a mention, but look, here's a platform as such, you know, and if you look at the talent, natural talent we got as Indigenous people, as black people, you know, anything to do with sports, we're pretty much up there and we can pick it up and run with it, so to speak. So this Golf Dreaming can perform, can create a platform to big and better things. And when you look at sports and what have you, and you've got the little green tennis ball and the white golf ball, there's big money in that sport, you know what I mean? If we've got the natural talent, there's an entrepreneurship, there's a platform for a business entity, you could say.
We've also got to note that the reality is there were colour bars of exclusion, you know, from the 19th century through two-thirds of the 20th century. We're great sporting talent that we had, Aboriginal men and women, were not given the opportunity
exactly,
to
because
play
of racism.
The sports they were so good at.
Yep.
You know, it wasn't until the 60s and the 70s, even rugby league and AFL, slowly began to open the doors. When they realised the talent, I mean, the doors were kicked in.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
We've seen over the last 40 to 50 years, the greatest players in both those codes have been blackfellas.
Yes. Exactly. Well, you look at the NRL Grand Final in 2015 when you had Jonathan Thurston, captain for Cowboys, and Justin Hodges, captain for Broncos, you know what I mean?
That's right.
It is, leading from the front. So we do have a tournament, a golf tournament, Indigenous golf tournament, do we not, Professor John?
Yeah, the National Indigenous Golf Championship. They're going since 1979.
Okay.
You know, and I've dedicated the book to JD, Johnny Delaney, who was one of those who was instrumental in setting that golf championship, and we lost JD last year. I did an interview with him for this book, and I dedicated the book to his memory.
Yeah.
So, we had some great pioneers as far as golf's concerned. And as you say, there's great opportunities. What we need is support from government, support from golf clubs. I mean, to give our mob the opportunities, particularly the kids, to play the game. We could unearth the next Tiger Woods, an Aboriginal Tiger.
Exactly. And we need all the different sports activities out there to be at the table. When we talk about youth crime, for example, idle time, idle hands, devil's playground, if we've got these kids being active, there's talent there that could come to the surface, and there lies the vision of their future. You don't know.
That's exactly right, bud. You've knocked it on the head. When they talk about this crime, the reality is those kids have got nothing. You know, give them an opportunity.
Exactly.
Give them some support. Give them opportunities to play sport and games and encourage them into that space. And that's what they need.
Sure.
And golf's another game with incredible opportunities to, take them to the next step.
Exactly. And look, I did mention as an example, I mentioned youth crime, but just to elaborate on that and to confirm that not all youth crime are Indigenous boys and girls,
no,
of course.
That's right. No,
thank you,
exactly.
You know? Brother, look, this is fantastic. Thank you for sharing, Professor John Maynard. Do you still swing the club, my friend?
I do. Got a bit of arthritis, Trevor, and had a knee replacement. No, but try to get around twice a week.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, that's good to hear. Look, thank you for the yarn. Very important space to all our Delhi brothers and sisters out there. Look, if you're looking for something different or you want to give it a shot, never know, you may find your love or your profession as such. But a great opportunity. We need more black fellas in this space, and you don't have to have a yacht tied up the back of your mansion to play golf, hey, brother?
That's right, bud. That's exactly right, bud. Thanks very much for having me on. I really appreciate it. And, you know, best wishes to all the mob out there, right?
Yeah, too deadly. Nice yarn with you, Professor John Maynard. You take care, brother. We'll yarn soon.
All right, bud. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Deadly Professor John Maynard, author of Golf Dreamy and Emeritus Professor at Indigenous History from the University of Newcastle, and talk about Golf Dreaming, a fresh perspective on golf. Golf Dreaming, food for thought, you mob. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, yarning up strong here. The Bally One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarn up strong, too deadly.
Heal the people, heal the land, they will understand, goes hand in hand.
Talk Black.
National Talk Black.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country at BBM Bumbaribrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service. Have your saying yarn up strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Now, Indigenous Welders are invited to showcase cultural creativity on a global stage. We're talking Weld Australia, and HERA are calling on Indigenous artists from Australia and New Zealand to submit their welded artworks for inclusion in the International Institute of Welding 2025 digital collection welded art photographic exhibition progressing biodiversity. Well, how deadly is this? And with that, we're going to catch up a yarn with Ben Mitchell, Director of Strategic Partnerships of Weld Australia. Ben, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Yeah, lovely to be here. I'm doing really well. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program and talk about connections. That's what welding does, connects things. Here's an opportunity for Indigenous artists. So paint the picture, please, partner Bunt.
Certainly. No, I like it. I like it. So as you mentioned, yeah, Weld Australia and HERA, so our cousins from over the ditch, calling on all Indigenous artists from both Australia and New Zealand to submit their welded artworks in what's a pretty prestigious international exhibition. IIW, or International Institute of Welding, is the global body.
Yes.
And yeah, they've decided to showcase a theme which is biodiversity and Indigenous perspectives. So we thought, what better opportunity than to showcase some talent in Australia and New Zealand.
And with the successful artists who come to the table, where is their artwork exposed and how is it being exposed?
Yeah, it's a photographic exhibition, so it'll be showcased in the main hall in the exhibition, as well as online and throughout all of I guess promotional methods. But this year it's in Genoa in Italy, so a long way from where we are, but very much showcased across all countries, and that'll be on all social media engagement at the same time as well. So pretty big opportunity, probably. You know, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for some Indigenous artists to share their culture, heritage, and more importantly, stories through the welding as an art form.
Well, for artists, an opportunity, as you mentioned, but it puts them on a platform where exposure globally, and don't know what can come of that, you know? So how do people get involved?
Sure. Well, you can head to our website. You know, that's worldaustralia.com. There is an application process that artists will need to fill out. It's a 200 word submission, as well as with the photography of their artwork. So it's as simple as that. So sort of tell us what it is and why. And as we said, a big part of this is storytelling and connecting biodiversity and Indigenous perspectives. So we're really looking forward to some pretty creative and pretty amazing pieces.
And are we talking one winner, Ben, or are we talking two winners, one from New Zealand, one from Australia?
Yeah, one from New Zealand and one from Australia.
Okay.
To sort of join forces from the region to sort of have us, we'll go through a regional competition, and then they'll be chosen to be selected to represent one from Australia and one from New Zealand.
Fantastic. And for all artists, male or female, doesn't matter?
Doesn't matter. No, everyone's welcome. And really, it's around the theme of progressing biodiversity and sort of, we want to see stories reflecting deep cultural significance in nature and sustainability and how that, stories told through an Indigenous perspective.
Look, a great concept. Fantastic. Hats off to Weld Australia as well as HERA. Tell us a bit about HERA. And is this an annual event? Do you do this all the time?
Yeah, it is. So it's an annual event, and the photographic competition's been going since 2019.
Good.
And so we're really just starting to sort of accelerate it now with our support, as you mentioned, to showcase some of the amazing creativity and artists that we have in our country and in New Zealand. So Weld Australia and HERA combining. Weld Australia, we're the peak industry body for welding. We're a not-for-profit organisation, and our job is to sort of elevate the profile of welding in Australia. And HERA is our counterpart in New Zealand. So we thought we'd get collective together and push represent this part of the world and showcase some pretty amazing talent.
Fantastic. Ben, let's quickly talk about the industry, as in welders, if not Australia and New Zealand, then globally. I believe we are struggling regarding welders. We need more welders. And how are we going in the Indigenous space regarding Indigenous welders?
Yeah, we really are. So, you know, our data suggests that we're probably, from an Australian perspective, about 70,000 welders short. Wow. In regards to we're an ageing population.
Yes.
You know, we're not seeing a lot of engagement from kids taking up welding as a profession. So, you know, we're certainly putting a lot of programs into allowing for, you know, opportunities in welding. I mean, you can earn a really good living, and it provides a really good lifestyle, and it's a really good community.
Mm.
So there are programs that we run, and there's Indigenous programs, women in welding programs that we do to really try to help fill up the industry, because, you know, it's one of the oldest professions, and we need to make sure that, you know, if we want to keep, you know, building big big projects and opportunities, we need, you know, good quality welders to support it that are locally locally grown.
Well, if you talk about the way of the future, we're talking about technology, we're talking about information age, we're talking about designing a building, so to speak, but you still need metal, steel, to get welded,
yep,
to build that building. So we do need them. There's an opportunity there, a great industry, and great opportunities. And then the other thing, as I'm thinking of, Ben, a welder then stands back and look at the end product and had input in that in regard to the welding. So it's a good feat, and good for the soul, I would say.
Yeah, it's a very much, a, like you mentioned, it's a tactile job. It you know, there's a lot of reward that comes from it. You're seeing it, you're driving past, you know, the structures that you've helped contribute to your community, to society, and you know, even just to showcase that, you know, you've contributed, you know, hopefully something that lasts a long time through your, you know, amazing craftsmanship and contribution to building.
Fantastic. So online entry forms for artists, once again, how do artists get involved in this fantastic opportunity? Indigenous welders invited to showcase cultural creativity on a global stage. How do they do it, Ben?
Yeah, look, what we're looking for is, yeah, it's an online submission, so visit worldaustralia.com.au. There'll be an events page there that they can click through. So applicants, they need to sort of provide a high-quality photograph of their welded artwork. So, you know, it's not like it has to be shipped over, but it's just, you know, photographs of it.
Mm.
And as I mentioned, a 200-word description of, you know, the artwork's theme, the techniques, and the connection to biodiversity and Indigenous culture. Photo of themselves and a short biography, you know, really showcase who they are, what they're doing, and, you know, telling stories about, you know, what that piece means to them. You know, that's what we're looking for.
Yes.
You know, to showcase the world of creativity. So yeah, it's all online, and you know, applications do close, or entries close the 25th of April, so we don't have a lot of time. So I encourage your listeners to really think about it and get to it, apply online, please.
Fantastic. Well, partner punt, but a good yarn, Ben. Thank you for the yarn, and all the best to your team. And we will yarn soon, my friend. You keep smiling. You take care, Ben Mitchell.
You too. Thank you so much, Trevor. Really appreciate the opportunity, and any time. Looking forward to your listeners getting on board and contributing, and we'd love to showcase their amazing talents.
Too deadly. Thanks a lot, Ben. Take care, man.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
Beautiful yarn there. Ben Mitchell, Director of Strategy Partnerships at Weld Australia. So an opportunity, you mob, Indigenous welders invited to showcase cultural creativity on a global stage. So we need one from Australia, one from New Zealand. Put your artwork in, go online, or put your entry in regarding getting involved, and the opportunity then there before you, and your art piece is showcased globally. And we've got a launch happening in Italy, so look, fantastic. There's your art piece, and doors could open up. And that's the payment of that being winning that space. You win to put your artwork in, your artwork goes in, and there's exposure to you. So that's the payment in that. So do check it out. Go online and see what you can do. Put the iron on fire. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. We're live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM Bummerbib Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarn up strong, you mob, too deadly. National Talk Black.
Have you raised me the ocean of First Nations Connect is Telstra's phone line and service centre for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander customers. You can call our friendly team on 1800 444 403 if you have any questions about your Telstra phone or internet plan, or visit telstra.com and search First Nations Connect. That's 1800 444 403 and telstra.com. Search First Nations Connect.
Station sponsor.
Thinking about uni or TAFE, but unsure what study will be like? You're not alone. Plenty of our mob found the course they want and the support they were looking for at CQ University. Thanks to campus locations across the country, as well as dedicated Indigenous support staff who are there to welcome, guide, and listen. See it. Be it. We know you can. Start your journey at CQ Uni today.
Station sponsor.
You're listening to National Talk Black.
I met you in the mango rain. The sun. Then you wave goodbye.
National Talk Black.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumabrib Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong. All right, role of a lifetime in the Torres Straits. Urgent call to find next-gen trustee. Torres Straits, the regional authority, TSRA, is excited to announce its Australia-wide search for two dedicated project managers to lead its Ranger program, a vital initiative aimed at preserving the Torres Strait's unique ecological and cultural knowledge. With that, I'm going to catch up a yarn with Dr. Billy Roberts, Program Manager, Environmental Manager, and also Sister Alice Munnis, Acting Ranger, Operations Manager, and got them both on the line. Good morning, ladies. How are we?
Good morning, Trevor. Well, thank you.
Good. Thank you very much, and thank you for coming to the program. Alice, Sister, start with you. Let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
So Alice Munnis. I'm from the Torres Strait region. I'm originally from Cubin.
Yes.
That's Moore Island, but I currently work up in the top western region on Boygoo Island.
Okay, beautiful. Big shout out to you, Mob. Thank you very much. Dr. Billy Roberts, non-Indigenous, my sister, but who's Dr. Billy Roberts?
I've been living in the Torres Strait now for just a couple of years. I'm originally from Yagal country. It's Yamba in northern New South Wales. I've sort of got a background as a wildlife ecologist, spent a lot of time in Papua New Guinea, and now I'm in the unique region of the Torres Strait, running an amazing ranger program.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And we say unique, it is a unique place. And look, fantastic, congratulations. You are seeking two dedicated project managers to lead the ranger program. I would think that being remote in the beautiful place of Torres Straits would probably become sometimes a hurdle for some people, yes?
Yeah, look, we have advertised this role previously. We've decided to split the role. It has been a challenge, and that's why this recruitment we're doing at the moment's a bit out of the box. But we're feeling really confident that we're going to find the hidden pearl and two unique ranger operations.
Yeah, sure. Fantastic. And look, having these two people come on board, like I said, it could be a long time thing. It could be a short time thing. But the fact of living in Torres Strait, working with rangers, passing on knowledge, and if not, creating a platform for the rangers to step up probably into these roles, I would think.
Yeah, that's absolutely our plan. If we do get someone who's non-Indigenous or from outside of the Torres Strait region, we'd like it to be sort of a 2 to 3 year role to help identify and build the capacity of some of the existing rangers within the Torres Strait. But we're also encouraging people within the Torres Strait region to apply as well. It's really open to everybody.
Beautiful, fantastic. And just give us some sort of job description, the work they would be doing if taken on this role, please.
Geez, every day is going to be different.
Yes.
I'll start and then Alice, feel free to sort of jump in. But really, this is not just a unique region. It's also one of the largest ranger programs. So we have 60 rangers across 13 islands. Every day can look different. We work on land and sea country.
Yes.
We do a lot of people and culture and language. Every day could be different. You know, jumping on a vessel with the rangers, flying in a helicopter to go and look at cultural heritage sites. It's really, you need to bring a sense of adventure for this role.
And when we're talking about working with traditional owners, all the different tribal people we got on the big island Australia, Torres Strait included, it's not all the same, is it? So you become a student for life, I would say.
I'll let Alice answer this one.
I'd
say that when dealing with traditional owners, exactly that, not everybody's the same. So they have their uniqueness to each island. So,
And when you're talking about the role, we're talking about the person being working with the environment, working with animals that's on the land and marine animals, but they're getting the knowledge of culture, and especially with traditional owners. I mean, that in itself is a bonus, would it not be, Alice, sister?
that in itself is rewarding.
Yeah.
So you will deal with the different clusters, the different cultures, the different knowledge, and I suppose whoever we whoever comes in would have to have an open mind and open heart to learning new knowledge.
Yes. Fantastic. Dr. Billy, with the two people applying for the positions, are we talking professionals, and in what field? Are we talking doctors or professors, or paint that picture? And does the job including accommodation, and do they have time off to fly home and away from the Torres Strait? Paint that picture, please.
Yeah, look, absolutely. Look, this is not just the largest, as I said. This is a, you know, we are ecological experts up here in the Torres Strait. So we do need someone that has at least 5 to 10 years working in natural resource management. Ideally, they've worked with MOB before.
Sure.
They need to sort of be fit and healthy. It's a well-paying role. We get 4 weeks holiday. There's 15.4% super.
Yes.
Housing's also provided, and it's subsidised, and they'll be able to be flights home. But we are looking for someone to live, embed themselves in the community. They'll be based on Thursday Island. Permanently living there. We encourage people with families and children to come, although it's remote.
There's
really great hospitals, education. It's a really amazing community.
Mm.
And our team, the Ranger team, we don't call it just a team. We actually call it a family. We're really extending a handout to someone to come up here who's as passionate as we are about conserving the environment and being part of the land and sea family that we have here at TSRA.
Yeah, thank you. And I'd agree with that, Sister Alice. That would be the case when we have mob come visit us, whether it be black or white, and they live with us. Adoption straight away, you could say, couldn't you?
Yeah, exactly. The way Billy pitched it, sign me up.
Too deadly. So how do they apply, and when does the application close?
I think we've got another 2 weeks. Before it closes, you can go via Seek. Also, there's a dedicated website, www.hiddenpearl.com, where you can apply that way as well. So I'm also, we are a Commonwealth agency, so APS jobs.
Okay, fantastic. And I love the description of that, Hidden Pearl, because that would be a fantastic job working on Torres Straits and working with MOB and more ways than one. Look, thank you very much, ladies. Good luck with it all. Please keep in touch. And there's a couple of two positions there for working in a deadly place. Thank you, Dr. Billy Roberts. And thank you, Sister Alice Munnis. Too deadly.
Yeah, thank you.
Take care. Keep in touch. All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Beautiful yarn there. Dr. Billy Roberts, Program Manager, Environmental Manager, and also Alice Munnis, Acting Ranger, Operation Manager for the Torres Straits. And there's a fantastic role of a lifetime in the Torres Straits, urgent call to find next-gen trustee. So look for people out there to apply for the position. The Torres Strait Regional Authority is excited to announce that its Australia-wide search for two dedicated project managers to lead its Ranger program, a vital initiative aimed at preserving the Torres Strait's unique ecological and cultural knowledge. So look, a fantastic opportunity living and working in Torres Straits. It doesn't have to be a 5-10 year gig, looking at 2 or 3 years, but I think once you get up there you'll love it and look at saying full-time. Either way, full-time gig, do check it out, your mob, and apply. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarn Up Strong here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bumrabip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Big shout out to the team, National Talk Black, 1 hour program. I'm your host, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from McCurry. Yarn Up Strong, your mob, too deadly. National Talk Black.
From the red dust to the deep blue sea. Amsterdam, because